Dear beloved of Christ, our Savior, we read the portion of God's Word that that hymn was based upon, the Song of Mary from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." As we are fully involved in the holiday season this year, we ask ourselves, how do we stay balanced? Balance is such an elusive thing, especially around this time of year. Sometimes we use the phrase, keep ourselves on an even keel. That idea comes directly from the imagery of a ship on the water, that to stay balanced on the water despite the turning of the waves or despite the turbulence of the seas. How do we do that as Christians? You see, around Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's, we're confronted with so many deeply emotional days and special events, times that we celebrate with family, times that we give back to others, times that we reflect upon special things that God has done for us. It sounds easy on the surface in those areas to be balanced. Well, if it's good, it must be easy to be balanced. But what about when you have conflict at your job or struggles with your spouse or family member? What about if things at school are really good, but things at home aren't, or vice versa? What about if we have an easy time going about our day-to-day activities, but it's not so easy to celebrate these special events with family and loved ones? What if outwardly everything in my life looks good and well and following as it should, but inwardly in my heart, I have great turbulence? How do we keep balance? How do we stay on an even keel? That is such an elusive question for so many people, including us Christians. Well, first we see that God's Word tells us that we have many options out in the world around us. Things that we can use to try to bring us greater balance in life. Things that we can hasten to and listen to and follow and join in to try to keep a more peaceful situation in our lives. God tells us there are many things out there that we have access to, and he tells us why that's the case. We read about it in our second scripture reading. It's the natural knowledge of God. It's that moral code, that law of God that he put in all people's hearts, that even if you don't know the Bible, even if you've never picked up a page of scripture, you have that feeling on your heart from God. That's why there's so many options out there in our world to keep us balanced in life, because everybody's going through that. Everybody feels that difficulty. Paul wrote in Romans 2, "People who do not have the Word of God by nature do what God requires. Their conscience bears witness." The Bible tells us why people seek after so many different options to give them balance in their lives, because we're all going through that. And so by nature, we seek many different paths, many different alternatives, many different beliefs. You may call it a religion if you want. Many different ways to give us peace and balance with that inner law of God. The things that God gives us in his Word, the reason that God has given us to push us in these directions to find balance and peace, they're not bad things. God's word is good. The law that God puts on our consciences is good. It stems and curbs evil in our lives and in our societies. We would want people to feel that inner moral voice of God. That's not the problem. The problem is with us. Sometimes we say that life is imbalanced, that life is difficult because of everything else going on outside of us. Well, the world is wicked. My neighbors, they just don't understand what I'm going through. So-and-so is mean and angry, bringing my life down. You see, there's more to imbalance than just what's happening outside of you, because the Bible says the worst part is what's going on in your heart. God says that's where the core rot is located. And that's why it's a difficult thing to overcome, that imbalance, because you can say it's everybody else's fault and you can try to fix all the world's problems, but if you ignore your own, you're never going to be even keeled. It's precisely at this point that we enter the thoughts of our text today. We need help to cover this problem in our hearts that comes from outside of our lives. We need Jesus to be born for us. We need Jesus to be that child given to Mary by miraculous intervention of the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who solves that problem. And as we talk this morning about keeping balance in our lives, think about what was going on in Mary's life. We know the familiar depictions of the Annunciation, we might call it, or the Visitation, or we could even think of the Nativity scene, where Mary looks like this stoic figure, this pillar of Christianity, this person who is just surrounded by light and gentleness and warm, fuzzy feelings. That's hardly the situation that we're in. An angel of God had just appeared to Mary and told her she would give birth to the Savior of all people. And that sounds good on the surface, and that's endearing to our hearts, and that's what we celebrate around Christmas time. But for Mary, that meant something different than what it means for us. Because God's prophecy dictated that that Savior to be born of all people would be born of a virgin. For Mary, this declaration from the angel Gabriel was highly scandalous. She would be labeled as an adulteress in her culture, even though she wasn't. Her marriage betrothal to the man that she was going to spend the rest of her life with was now under serious threat, even though she had done nothing wrong. She was confronted with a situation that was ultimately beyond her control, but that would cause her great pain and difficulty in her life, both literally, but also mentally and spiritually. Talk about losing balance in life. One moment, life is going on normal for Mary, and the next, it's completely and forever changed. As we reflect on our lives and what leads to imbalance this holiday season, stress, relationship issues, anger, struggles, whatever it may be, kind of pales in comparison to what Mary was going through. Yet in this song of praise, her response to this declaration, we see incredible balance. The key thought from Mary's song comes in verse 48. Behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. We ask ourselves, what does it mean that Mary is blessed? Particularly when it comes to all generations declaring this and acknowledging this, that all people throughout all time would recognize Mary's blessedness. Mary is obviously highly regarded by all Christians, and her story has been told from generation to generation. And indeed, what Mary said here has come true, that all generations will call her blessed. It's happened. It's happening today. But we also know that sometimes that's taken a bit too far, right? We know that some Christians say that this elevates Mary to a higher status as a Christian, that she's above all the rest of us. This leads her to a position where she can be prayed to and worshipped alongside Jesus. But is that what Mary was saying here? One can only read those notions of Mary's faith into what she's saying by ignoring everything else that she confesses. A simple reading of her song and the rest of what she goes on to say tells us what the truth really is. Not only does Mary call herself lowly, she goes above and beyond to emphasize God's power on her behalf. 9 times she uses the phrase, God has. God has regarded her lowly state. God has done great things for her. God has shown strength with his arm. God has scattered the proud. God has put down the mighty from their thrones. God has exalted the lowly. God has filled the hungry. God has sent the rich away. And God has helped Israel with his mercy. There was nothing special that Mary believed about herself that led to her being blessed by God. It's just like those images we have in her mind that every aspect of her life was cheery and easygoing. They're not true. Mary trusted completely in what God would do for her. And Mary rejoiced in that Savior, not just because Jesus was born of her, not just because she had that high position for which she's honored by so many Christians. Mary rejoiced in that fact because it was God, her Savior, the very child who would be born through her. That child, Jesus, who received his flesh and blood from Mary, would go on to offer up that very same body for her sins too. And through that, Jesus would restore balance. How did that kind of a miracle take place? How did the impossible happen? How did a virgin have a child that was God's son? How could Mary accept any of this? And to do so with such faith and peace. Well, the easy response that we might tend to offer is, well, it's God's power, right? God can do anything he wants. In fact, Mary said that same thing just a couple verses before this song of praise. She said, all things are possible with God. That's true. The tougher question is not the power of God. Of course, God has all power. But the tougher question is, how did Mary believe it? Because God does things all over the place. God does things for us all the time in his power, but we don't always believe it. God has done things from the very beginning of time. In fact, the very first thing that God did, calling light out of darkness, people today doubt more than ever. They don't believe it. The tough question is, how did Mary have faith? Because in this story, the most fragile thing here is not Mary herself, but it's the faith that Mary has to believe what God has told her. It's not that the birth of Jesus hung in the balance upon Mary's spiritual insight or her intuition. It's not that God was waiting for her and saying, okay, Mary, once you believe, then it can all work. But it was the same way that all of God's promises work. All of God's promises, even the little ones in our lives today, do we believe it? Because God can do and has done whatever he wants. His word spoke and it came to pass. His word would not be proved wrong. But that word is not always received in my heart. That same pattern, the same thing that Mary went through, plays out over and over again in our lives. God speaks, we hear. But do we listen? Do we believe it? God makes his word as clear as it possibly can be. Despite the many arguments of the world around us to the contrary, God's word is not a difficult thing. We teach it to children here in our school, and they understand it, and they grow in it, and they believe it. The problem is not with God's word. The problem is not with his promises. The problem is not with the impossibility of the situation. The problem is not with the God who speaks that. The difficulty, the problem, what leads to imbalance in our lives is our inability and refusal to accept it. To see how great this difference can be, consider another situation that was similar to Mary's. Another woman in Scripture, confronted by an angel, although in a different form, led to a much different result. It was Eve, tempted by Satan, who made the decision not to believe what God had said. Instead of listening to God's warning not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Eve chose to believe the lie and made a piece of fruit more important than God. She chose to worship and serve the creation rather than the Creator. It might not seem like it, but that very same temptation was right in front of Mary as she stood before Gabriel that day. When Gabriel called to her and said, "This is what the Word of God says," Mary had the opportunity to doubt that and to not believe it. Faith simply receives what God has done. But Mary had that chance, just like Eve did, to trust more in her thoughts, to be more involved in her concerns, to focus in only on her worries and her cares, to block out what God could do for her and think only of what she could do for God. Mary had that, just like Eve had that, but to what a great and different result. As hard as it was, and as unbelievable as it was, and as uncertain as it was, and all of the things that Mary could not grasp about what God was telling her, she still believed. Verse 38 records her reply. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let us not forget how amazing it is, how monumental it is that Mary said that, and that Mary meant that. "Let it be to me according to your word." She didn't get to that point because Gabriel sat there and explained the whole process to her. She didn't accept it because God came down and told her, "Well, I know that the society is going to do this to you, and I know that Joseph's going to want to do this, and I know that what you're going to go through in 9 months." God didn't explain all that to her. But she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." That was the faith of Mary. That's your faith too. And it's not a complicated thing. It's as simple as that one passage that Mary said. She believed. She let it be in her life according to what God had declared it to be in his word. Mary believed. And all the power and all the work and all the sacrifice and all the glory would be directed at God because of Mary's faith. Mary's faith was simple because it just received what Jesus was going to do for her too. Just like your faith receives what he has already accomplished. But the other special part of Mary's faith, and the reason why we remember it at Advent, is because her faith impacted your faith as well. When she listened to the word of God and she replied back with complete trust that, "Let it be to me according to your word," even though her life was completely tipped upside down, when Mary replied that way, it also affected your faith today. Because she accepted that the Savior to be born of her would come from God and would be your Savior too, and my Savior. So we take time around Advent to appreciate Mary, not because she's holy and perfect, not because she should be prayed to, and certainly not because she should be worshipped. We take time to be thankful for Mary because in that moment and at that crossroads, she trusted in God, her Savior. And the blessings for us today are that we can celebrate Jesus' birth among us today. We can have joy around Christmas time that involves more than just getting a present from someone, but getting a gift from God that lasts for eternity. And so God said it, and so it would be. All generations will call her blessed. So when it comes to your life, when you ask that question and you seek that balance that seems so elusive, even to the strongest of Christians among us, find your balance in the same thing that Mary found hers, in Jesus. Because just as she said about her faith, so it's true of yours. He is your God. He is your Savior. He has regarded your lowly state. He has lifted you up from that ash heap of your sins and cleansed you with His own blood. That is something to be joyful about. That is something to take with you wherever you go. That is something that can give you peace no matter what you encounter in life, no matter how your life could be turned upside down, no matter what God might say to you is coming down the line, no matter what difficult things He might tell you in His Word that you don't want to accept, that you know are going to be hard, faith in Jesus gives you balance, gives you peace. When Jesus calls to your life through His Word, it probably won't be through an angel. It certainly won't be through a serpent. But when He calls, and He will often, in fact, it's whenever that Bible of yours is opened, God is calling to you, God is talking to you, and whenever Jesus does that, listen and believe. Listen and believe. Faith is not a complicated thing. Even a little child who is freshly baptized can have the very same faith that Mary had. It is simple trust in God's words and in God's promises given to us clearly. Mary was really nothing more than a humble and lowly teenager who had just been confronted with the greatest impossibility that the world had ever seen. Instead of fleeing to lesser idols of her imagination, of her fears, of her intellect, of her power, things that would have been low-hanging fruit like it was for Adam and Eve. Instead of fleeing to those things, Mary responded with faith and trust in her Savior. And God tells us today what that sounds like and how that can be practiced in your life too. Let it be done according to your word. That little phrase shows Mary's faith. That one sentence, when directed at Jesus, our Savior, gives us balance in life. Thanks be to God for that gift that He gave to us through Mary, His own begotten Son. And thanks be to God for giving us that same word of promise. Amen. Please rise.